Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. We get to extend a full trip back to New York to Professor Brian McCrach.
It's Brian McCrach.
Brian McCrach. And Cade McCrach, so to speak.
It's both the original version of the name McGrath.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these names like McCrae, McCrath, McGrath, McGraw are all go back to an Irish chieftain called Rath, and MacCrath, son of Rath, is the version of my name now. So it would be, I suppose, the Irish version of McGrath would be the nearest thing, best way of explaining it.
Yeah. Well, I know. Right, with a name like Flannelly, I'm very used to having that one mollifoostered along the way. Anyway, you're very welcome back. And Brian is president of Dublin City University, and indeed a position that you will hold. It's a 10-year assignment, right, Brian?
Correct. It's a ten-year role.
Dublin.
Go ahead. I'm just close to finishing the 4 years in that role at this stage, so it's a very exciting time, and it's a fantastic job to be in. I really, really enjoy it.
The university itself has an amazing history, though it is considered indeed to be and has been hailed as a very progressive university, but again, among the top 50 young universities in the world.
Correct. Yes, I mean, we took in our first students in 1980, so we're just 34 years in existence, and we took in 200 students in 1980. We're now over 12,000 students, and we'll soon be over 16,000 students. But that designation as being in the top 50 young universities in the world, which we've held for the past 3 years in the global rankings, is a very important one. There's somewhat over 1,000 universities around the world that have been established since 1964, and to be ranked in the top 50 of those is very important, and it reflects, I suppose, the quality of the education, the employability of our graduates, and the impact of our research, because these are the factors that are measured. And it's a testimony to the quality and commitment of our staff. But it has opened many doors for us worldwide in terms of creating global networks, because to come from a standing start to that position in quite difficult circumstances of funding and so on is, I suppose, genuinely respected throughout the academic world.
Now, you're on the north side of Dublin, and indeed started off with a relatively small university, and have just expanded by leaps and bounds over the decades.
Correct. We're halfway between the city centre and the airport, so we're very easily accessible. We're just off the M50, just off the M1. So it's in terms of access, it's a great location.
Yeah.
And we're close to a kind of, obviously, a very dynamic and exciting city. A multi-ethnic, innovative city. It's now being called the Silicon Valley of Europe. I suppose it's best captured by the fact that within 15 minutes drive of our university, we have the European headquarters of Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, HP, Intel, IBM, all of these big players. And they have really influenced our portfolio of degree programs and our research agenda. And it means that there's great employment available in a broad range of areas for graduates of the university.
Now, one of the aspects or one of the additions to your curriculum, which was not, I believe we didn't associate so much with other universities, the older universities in Ireland, is the practical, the credits that are given for some practical courses in addition to the educational courses. Maybe you can explain that one for us.
Well, I suppose we have a strong commitment to employment experience. So of our 80 or so undergraduate degree programs, for the vast majority of those, students do a full internship in industry. This would be typically 6 to 8 months in year three of the four-year degree programs. And that has a transformative impact on the students, and employers all the time tell us that they can identify someone who's had that work experience. It's a very strong maturing impact. It's a very strong awareness growing impact in terms of the ability of the ultimate graduate to fit into the employment situation. So it's something we're very proud of, and something we believe is an extremely useful part of the broader educational experience. I mean, we see our role as preparing our students and ultimately our graduates to flourish in the world, and that means in their private lives, in society, but most importantly, we believe in the world of employment, so that they can actually flourish and deliver value to wherever they go.
Is there a keen awareness that with the collapse of the Celtic Tiger, and in fact over the last few years, reality is that a great number of graduates in universities in Ireland really, through no fault of their own, have to emigrate? And is the curriculum, is it geared towards, is it geared towards that reality?
Indeed, I mean, it's a very general statement, I think, and it merits greater scrutiny. So, for example, if you take one of the most vibrant sectors in Ireland in terms of employment and economy, it's the ICT, the information and communications technology area. That continues to thrive and did so right throughout the crash in recent years. And in fact, we can only fill in Ireland 55% of the jobs available in that sector from Irish graduates. So in a sense, what we're trying to do is ensure that we can take on more students and encourage more students into these STEM-based careers, because there are jobs there in Ireland. And we're seeing a return in terms of university applications to those areas in much greater numbers. But the second point I'd make in terms of graduates, I strongly support graduates going abroad and getting experience abroad. And some of the best things happening in Ireland at the moment are, for example, from graduates who went off to the US in particular, gained great experience, whether it be on the East Coast or the West Coast, Silicon Valley or New York, Boston, and have come back into Ireland with that experience and delivered great value to the nation. So I don't think emigration in itself is a uniformly a bad thing. Where students and graduates are doing it voluntarily, but with an aspiration to return, I think it can be an extremely good thing for everybody.
Does that seem more promising today than, say, a few years ago? The prospect of Ireland being able to provide for returning immigrants?
Absolutely. I think all the indicators in recent months have been extremely positive. And in fact, I think we're now in the 15th month in a row where employment has increased. There's a huge development across almost all of the industrial sectors, and positions being created that are attracting people back into Ireland itself. I should mention one other thing here that we're also focusing on. We believe that in the future, graduates should simply not be job seekers, but should be job creators. So that there's an increasing focus on entrepreneurship as a national strategy, and increasing evidence that we're very good at it. And it's really a culture change, and it's important to embed this in the education system so that we instill that confidence and creativity in our students and graduates, so that they can actually develop the next Googles, the next LinkedIns, the next Facebooks in Ireland itself. And I think this is a change from the kind of heavy dependence on foreign direct investment alone. So we've embedded this concept of entrepreneurship in all its forms right inside the university itself. In fact, last year, we launched Ireland's first undergraduate accelerator program, which is a program enabling students to set up and run their own companies and funded to do so. It was hugely successful. And the transformative impact on the students themselves was palpable. It was very visible. So now we have the prospect of students, graduates emerging with degrees, high-quality degrees, but having already had the experience of setting up and running their own companies. These are hugely powerful characteristics in individuals emerging from the university itself.
Now, you've mentioned the high-tech companies, the Google in particular, which is right on your back doorstep in Ireland. Is there a sense that you know, that a young, highly educated university level graduate force in Ireland will continue to attract the big tech companies? And what other areas do you see as growing for your students?
We'll take the first part of your question first. Yes, indeed, there is. And in fact, the World Competitiveness Report, which appeared late last year, has ranked Ireland number one in the world out of 137 countries in terms of the availability of skilled labour. And while the taxation situation is obviously one of the major factors attracting in foreign direct investment into Ireland, there's no point, and the leaders of all those companies will say this publicly, there's no point in coming to Ireland just for the tax if the workforce weren't there. So consistently we hear from the leaders of those companies right across these sectors that the quality and availability of skilled labour is a huge factor for them. So I think that news is good, and it means that we have to keep emphasising the quality of higher education to ensure that we stay ahead of the curve in that regard. In terms of the sectors, I mean, obviously I mentioned ICT already, but
right.
The other sectors that are important are really in the biotech, the pharma area, medical devices. We would have a worldwide reputation for medical diagnostics, the broader area of agri-food, smart foods, that's building on Ireland's reputation, you know, the traditional reputation in the high quality of food, but actually combining that with excellent science as well. So
right. You
get into areas like nutraceuticals, nutrigenomics. These combinations of technologies and quality food is really something that's delivering great excitement. So some of the big names you'd be familiar with, like Glanbia and Kerry Foods, sort of really expanding strongly in Ireland in terms of their product development in these areas, but again, needing strong graduates to support them.
What was the foundation of the NIHE, the National higher education system that was brought in just a few years before the foundation of DCU? What was the idea there? What brought that about?
It was very strongly a part of government strategy in actually preparing a new type of graduate for an increasingly high-tech, knowledge-based society and economy. So two NIHEs, these were National Institutes for Higher Education. They were terrible names, so I'm glad they changed them. But they set up one in Limerick and one in Dublin. And they, a short number of years later, in 1989, became redesignated as Dublin City University on the one hand and the University of Limerick on the other. But they've retained that focus of actually being very connected with the outside world, being very connected with enterprise. In fact, we use now the sub-brand of the university, the title University of Enterprise, meaning that we unambiguously engage very strongly with the enterprise sector across all its areas, and we also seek to stimulate enterprising and innovative mindsets in our students. But that strategy has proved very... a very good one for the government itself in terms of the sort of individuals we've delivered and the growth rates of both universities, University of Limerick and ourselves.
Brian, wanted to ask you about the structure of the university in terms of the composition of students in terms of those who, since your university is indeed considered to be, an award-winning university, what level of acceptance is there for those who, are unable to afford, say, any of the other universities in Ireland? What is the policy with respect to your applications?
Our policy is this, that, and I suppose it's a philosophy at the university itself, is that we believe that, that simply people's ability should be the only determining factor in terms of getting into the university itself and not their means. So we have a very strong social inclusion or access program, as we call it. And again, just over 20 years ago, we started with two or three students from disadvantaged areas around Dublin. This has grown now to over 700 students who are on our campus, who are supported by our philanthropic support in terms of enabling them to get a full university education. It's one of the best things we do. Some of the metrics around this program are, number one, that the completion rate for these students is over 93%, which is massively above the average rate for completions for students who come in from, if you like, less difficult backgrounds. Secondly, they tend to do extremely well in terms of getting high-quality jobs. So it shows that by actually giving a support and an opportunity to students like this, they actually can flourish. So it's something we strongly believe in, and I suppose the data supports that in terms of the numbers. But the more important data is the individual successes that we see all the time where, you know, if I take one young man that we're very proud of, he came from a family that had no one had ever gone to university, no one in their second cousins even had gone to university, came to DCU, did a degree in biotechnology, did a PhD, and now ended up in Harvard Medical School having turned down a position in Yale. But that's a huge example of the transformative impact of education, and really it's those individual cases that actually provide us with great justification and belief that we're doing the right thing in terms of our access program.
Indeed, much loved and beloved figure in the Irish community, in the Irish and American community, the late Frank Durkin, at his own request, had established Memorial Scholarship, and there is a fundraiser actually taking place in Manhattan on this coming Thursday, May 15th. It is being hosted by Mariana and Brian O'Dwyer, and might also mention that a year ago, Dublin City University and our guest president, Brian McRae, conferred honorary degrees on two leading figures in this Irish-American community here in New York, Brian O'Dwyer, attorney, humanitarian, and lobbyist for immigration rights, and John Fitzpatrick, chairman and CEO of Fitzpatrick Hotel Group and the newly elected chairman of the American Ireland Fund. Tell us about the Frank Durkin Memorial Scholarship, Brian, and the significance of that.
Yes, well, I'm delighted that although I'm flying back to Ireland, I'm returning next week for this event in honor of Frank Durkin. So in Rosie O'Grady's next week, we will be hosting and attending a reception to celebrate the Frank Durkin Memorial Scholarship. This scholarship, as you mentioned, was set up in honor of Frank, and it maintains his value system in the sense it's associated with Mayo, it's associated with education, and where possible, we associate it with law students. It's the sixth year we are offering this scholarship, and in each case, the students have had the benefit of this, have actually done extremely well. And it's a wonderful way of maintaining the memory of Frank through the Scholarship Endowment Fund. So, in fact, on next Thursday, Kira Keenan, who's the recipient for 2013-14, will be in attendance as well. So what we do is we offer it to a student from County Mayo, for obvious reasons, with Frank being from Bohola. It's highly competitive to get this program. And ideally, if a good student is there pursuing a law degree at DCU, that they will get additional preference. But the main thing is it's to support a worthy student from County Mayo, and it maintains DCU's very strong connection with that county. So I'm delighted that I'll be able to come back and be there for this reception, and we're very grateful to Brian and Mariano O'Dwyer, or should I say Dr. Brian and Mariano O'Dwyer, who have, again, graciously agreed to host the reception in Rosie O'Grady's next Thursday evening.
Well, Professor Dr. Brian McRae, we will be looking forward to seeing you on next Thursday. And again, it is the Frank Durkin Memorial Scholarship. It's a fundraiser at Rosie O'Grady's in Manhattan, and hosted by Mariana and Brian O'Dwyer. For information, indeed, friends, you could call O'Dwyer and Bernstein, 212-571-7100, and indeed speak with Rosa, who is does a great job there in giving you the rest of the information. Again, we look forward to having you back with us, and we'll see you next Thursday, Dr. McRae.
Indeed. Pleasure speaking to you again, Adrian.
Thank you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.